Survival, where we have two microphones. We've been upgraded.
Check one and two. We're here.
And three and four. Apparently, there's four channels. I didn't know that.
We thought since it's the summer time and the beginning of things. I don't know how summer's the beginning of things. Summer, we're pretty much like a good 3 months into it. But hey, we've been semi. Well, we worked once on trying to get this microphone up, and
we did.
We're kind of like, okay, we'll just both talk into the same microphone.
And then we gave up.
Yeah, and then we just got like busy, and some of our listeners were like, "Come on, do better!" And so we finally have, and now we have two microphones.
It's amazing. It's a beautiful thing.
That, yeah, you can hear us both.
Yeah, live and. Well, I was going to say in color, but, you know. Stereo sound.
We are still in color.
This is also true. You just can't see our beautiful faces.
Oh, yeah. So what's been up?
What's been up?
I asked you first.
Yeah. So I possibly going to California in November for another marketing conference. So TBD, don't know if that's actually going to happen. It's been nice to just actually be home, because I don't know, I just feel like I live in a hotel, like I shower there and I keep my belongings there, but I don't actually like live there. So it's been nice to just kind of hang out, seeing family this weekend, and that's it. Low key, low profile.
So are there going to be any famous people at this conference?
You know what? I have this particular one I haven't quite looked up. I just wanted to make sure that the dates kind of worked with my schedule. But that's a good question. Let's find out real time right now. Hold on. Oh, too many hands.
Yeah, because before we had Michelle.
Yeah, we're not having Michelle. I'll tell you that
much. The founder of Refinery 29. I think those were the only two I really kept in my head. Michelle Obama.
Yeah, Michelle. I mean, after that, like, that's it. You don't need anybody else, really. But, yeah, there's definitely going to be a strong lineup for that. September thing that I'm going to.
Yeah, I always feel like marketers have like this cool job, kind of like salespeople, where you guys have like a budget to frolic and and make friends and eat dinner.
Oh, apparently.
And it's part of the creative marketing process.
Potentially.
Because there seems to be like, yeah, a conference every other month.
I guess so. I mean, I'm like, you know, I've only been in marketing for about 3 years now, but I mean, I guess in a sense it's kind of a nerdy job, but I think that these conferences, like an element, there's a tiny element of like, ooh, education and like, let's talk about the latest trends and all that stuff. But then all of it is really Kool-Aid, like, hey, like, well, because like, for example, this particular one, like Salesforce.com, which is like the CRM or like the granddaddy of all CRMs. Like,
do you say command daddy?
I said the granddaddy.
Oh, yeah. I like command daddy.
Oh, interesting. Well, all right. They're the granddaddy of CRMs. And like, it's kind of like, at the end of the day, it's like to indoctrinate you and make you want to sign up for Salesforce. And the same thing goes for the thing next month. Like, that's to get people to sign up for HubSpot. Let's be real. The Kool-Aid runs orange for that one.
Oh, I kind of want to backtrack a little bit to your comment about nerdy marketers. Because I've definitely met marketing, you know, people who are in that field. And they're not all nerdy.
No,
I think
they're
you're
not.
Like a special brand. Like, not all marketers are nerdy. No. Some of them are kind of like not nerdy.
I guess for me, it's just like. Well, it depends on what you're doing. Like, there's, like, the bloggers and, like, the social media gurus and stuff. But, like, while I care about those things and while I do those things, like, they're not necessarily the focus of my role. Like, for me, it's just, like, all of that plus data-driven and analytics and metrics and stuff like that. Like, that's where it gets kind of special.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, we'll see. Actually, yeah, I don't see any, like, crazy lineup for this, which I'm really surprised because supposedly.
Is that the girl from Orange is the New Black?
Sylvie Mulajona. She's an IT trailblazer. Mm-hmm. No.
Nope.
I guess not. Well, at least
she's still making that money, though.
She's still making that money. She's on this website.
Just not a movie star.
No. Oh, I see lots of POC up in here. What is this?
Thanks, Salesforce, for recognizing that there's a lot of talented IT people that are also POC.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
All right, so nobody famous. Anything else going on?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, I'm just trying to, I don't know, take it easy, actually. I've been deliberately moving at a slower pace and being more conscientious throughout my day and being grateful. That's a good thing. Exercise. Having an attitude of gratitude. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about yourself?
Did you feel that slipping? I feel like you're so, like, I don't know. You usually just have like good energy and you're positive. And I'm like, have you not been having?
Oh, well,
this is some secret.
Not really. No, I'm just really grateful. Like life seems to be going well. Like, you know, new jobs and now new potential travel opportunities and the podcasts and all. Life is good. Life is good right now. Things are in a good place.
Cool.
Yeah. So what new country are you venturing off to now?
I am not going anywhere new. On Wednesday, I'm going to the Logic concert, which I really like him. He's a rapper, mixed, and kind of talks about being mixed and, you know, that never enough of anything, which I totally relate to. And I don't know. I feel like his lyrics are pretty just thoughtful. Like one of those conscious rappers, I suppose.
That's cool.
Then Joey Badass is opening for him, who I just started listening to a bit, and he's also like, so yeah, this is going to be a good concert. I'm really excited for it. This is my weekend to the Bahamas, so I can't wait.
Look at you.
I'm getting over being sick. I was telling you earlier, I had like 5 things hit me at once.
Oh my gosh.
And it was just everything. Yeah. I have clinically diagnosed migraines, so I'm kind of used to just being like, okay, whatever, pull through, take a nap or pop some pills, whatever
it
takes.
Don't know how you do it.
But I just couldn't make it through this week. And I was just like, I need a day off from life. And so that's what I did. And I sat down in on this couch right here and watched a bunch of Insecure. I'm on the last episode. it's for the first season.
Wait, which was this?
Insecure. Oh. For Issa Rae.
I haven't seen
that. Yeah, I don't really... Her character kind of annoys me because I'm like, bitch, just be happy. Like, you have... it seems like things are going well in her job and you have a relationship where the guy's actually trying to do something more. He just happens to be in IT and like working on this app. So like, I relate. I feel for him.
He's only making 6 figures.
He's not right now. He was actually in the slump or whatever. He forget her birthday, which I understand. But you kind of like took it to the next level. And it's like you live with a dude and then you're staying over your friend's house for a week and not talking to him. Like, what is that going to resolve? Like, break up or make up, but you just can't step out on life and step out of relationship. That's how I feel. Mm-hmm. I'm like, talk about it and make it work and come up with a plan. So anyway, she was annoying me, and I don't know. I don't want to ruin it for anyone. But
did she make your migraine worse?
Actually, yes. When I connect with things emotionally, it really does. It makes my migraine worse. So I like powered through because I was still interested. And she's not my favorite character on the show, but yeah, I'm in a good place now. So I'm feeling a lot better. I just want to be ready for this concert, be ready for the Bahamas. Yeah. Like, every day this week, I just have something to do leading up until the trip. And, yeah.
Oh, look at you.
That's my biggest thing.
Aww.
It's coming up right now.
That's awesome. Good for you. Well, I'm glad to see that you're feeling better.
Thank you.
Aww. And have fun. Have fun celebrating your anniversary.
Anniversary. It's your anniversary. Anniversary bikinis. What? Anniversary bikinis. All right. So that brings us to our phrase of the day. And it is dugnad, which is a Norwegian philosophy of just voluntary community service. So you're giving something of your time and talents for the greater good, and so for nothing in return. So I guess this happens in Norway. It's kind of a seasonal thing where community members will just get together and just be like, hey, this, for example, like a community center needs this fresh coat of paint. Or, you know, let's help old Mrs. Alberts weed her garden. Or, you know, so you're doing things to kind of uplift other people in your community. And, like, again, I mean, you're not being paid for it. It's just the value that you're investing and seeing that returned by people's, like, happiness and general well-being. So I'm like, oh, that's so awesome that there's just one word that sums up not only this concept, but this, I guess, it's a way that people are supposed to kind of like live year round.
Interesting.
Like in that mind frame. So
that's pretty cool.
Dugnad. So, you know, next time you're just like sitting around, just be like, hey, I'm just going to dugnad today.
Yeah.
And get up and go.
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for all of you who have like a some kind of community organization that you're part of, whether it's, you know, some religious organization, whether you live in a community and, you know, have ways to disseminate information or organize groups, or maybe it's your PTA group or something. Yeah. Go exercise some Dugnad. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I would say like, yeah, churches, I'm not sure so much about, I mean, being raised Catholic, we know there's no Dugnad.
After that, it's more like do nada.
That 45 minute service. But I mean, there's like churches that will like tire people out with like running random errands but yeah, I mean like this is like the real deal. I feel like a lot of Black churches do this and maybe a lot of like, I'm thinking about my mom is a Baptist and they have things like that where like, oh, somebody needs help fixing their roof and the church member would help. Which I guess is like, it's a smaller part of it, but like, just imagine like everybody in your town working together on some goal.
Oh my gosh,
like that's what this is. I mean, you know, there's the smaller scale and the larger scale.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely getting outside of church walls too. And like taking, you know, those practices and beliefs and like extending it to people who may not have that exposure or might not have that or might not be part of a community that does that. I mean, like, yeah, like, I had a church that they, like, if there were, like, new parents, like, people would, like, cook up, you know, meals and stuff to deliver to the new parents so that they wouldn't have to worry about cooking and they'd have a fresh home-cooked meal. It was really cute. Like, I, like, love participating.
I'm so hungry right now.
I know. Actually, yeah, one couple, I did it good for them. Like, I made them some, like, Cornish hens that I roasted. I made them some, like, arroz con gandules and, yeah, that
did
baby
they write
was
you
well
a thank-you note or anything after?
Physically thanked me. They just said thank you. That was it. Food was good. Hey, if the food was good, can't complain.
You know what? I will say this is a thing about my personality. Like, I always like to have, like, okay, say if there was a community thing that I'd be like, okay, I want my dish to be one of the top dishes. And, like, how I'll know that, you know, because when they say thank you, they're just saying thank you for giving it to me. But, like, I would want them, if they really liked it, I'd just be, like, waiting to hear back. So, how were those Cornish hens? Did the baby like it? Did it get your breast milk flowing? Like, that's, like, I'm, like, waiting for that level of feedback because, I don't know, it makes me happy.
Anyway. No, they were pleased. It was like a Puerto Rican couple. They were like so happy.
Oh, so they understood.
They understood. Like, oh. Yeah. Oh yeah. I gave them like a bandeja, and like it was like covered in like as if it was like going to like a baby shower. That's how we did it up.
They knew.
We did it up.
I'm trying to think of, I guess it's also about like skill sharing. I know that year Boston has a Skillshare. I think it's Cambridge. I feel like Cambridge started it and Boston might have taken it over. But there are different spots in Cambridge where they have Skillshare events. So it's week long and you say like, oh, I want to teach people about pottery or graphic design or how to sew a bag. And people would sign up for your class and it's free to sign up. It's whether it's to share the skill or to participate in the class. But again, you're sharing something with others just in that spirit of generosity. So other than, I guess, church, which is like something that I could, like, you know, you can immediately think of like 100 examples. That would be something that's newer, like particular to, I guess, Cambridge. I'm sure there are other places that do something like something similar, which is cool.
Or even, I mean, I guess you could do it, like, at work or something. Like, let's say that you're busy, which we all are. You know, maybe talking to your HR department and seeing if you can get, like, a buddy system going. And maybe, or actually, yeah, one program I tried to implement with not a lot of success, but maybe it'll inspire some of our listeners. Doing, like, a, you know, nominating subject matter experts and, like, helping other coworkers, like, who might not be really well-versed in an area, become more well-versed, and just kind of building each other's skill sets by, you know, either through mentorship or maybe doing, like, a lunch and learn. You know, basically, iron sharpens iron, and, you know, you all would be, as a community, helping out each other and, you know, climbing the corporate ladder or something.
Yeah.
Without stepping on each other.
I remember this woman at one of my old jobs. She used to have a sweet treat Wednesdays, and she would bake something new.
Ooh.
Those cute things. I think it's like whatever your skill or comfort level is, just like contributing to making people happy. So, yeah, so in the spirit of summer and happiness, we want to talk about summer, past, present, and future. The three spirits of of summertime. This,
huh? Interesting. Oh, 15. That's
all I guess to say. Yeah, so yeah, just sharing some of our memories from summer. So do you have any past ones that pop into your head? Like, what was your favorite thing? I mean, besides school being let out as a kid, that's probably, the biggest thing. Like, yay, I don't have to go to school and have it suck out my life. And exactly. I get to do, like, what was your thing that you got to do?
Well, for me, like the marker of summer, like, I knew summer was coming when I heard, like, the ice cream truck. Like, that was, like, the beginning of summer for me. Like, I can hear it.
It would always pass by your street.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Along with drunk people and police sirens and fire trucks.
Growing neighborhood, up. I see.
Yeah, definitely. That was growing up. Now I live in suburbia, and that is actually, I don't even know if we have ice cream trucks where we live. Like,
do you
I've
miss
never
those
seen
sounds
them.
Sometimes? Like, when it's really sound. Quiet and you're just like, I wouldn't mind a police siren
I know,
showing me something going on.
I know, some activity, some life or something. But no, it's just kind of dead. I have stories about that, but I'll save them for another episode. But yeah, like the ice cream truck, I think, was definitely like one of my favorite memories. And like, oh my gosh, maybe I'm just in a different state of mind, but I can just taste like the soft serve ice cream and the ice cream cone. Like,
they have soft serve and ice cream trucks usually?
I think so, or at least the ones that I had growing up. Yeah, they
would maybe I was just there. Like one of those like kids that always point to the picture. I want that one with those colors.
Ooh, yeah.
I never knew about the soft serve.
Oh yeah, because if it wasn't the soft serve,
like
then
push pop.
Oh my gosh, the push pop, the strawberry shortcake popsicles.
Oh my goodness,
those
so
were my
good.
Favorite.
Yes,
those were like my hands down all time favorite. Mm-hmm. Love those things to death. Yeah, but like literally all time favorite. Nothing compares to it. But yeah, the beach is.
Would
like,
you eat it now?
Oh yeah.
Would you say it's still your all-time favorite as of like this moment?
You know what? I would be lying if I said yes, because I definitely haven't bought one in ages.
Yeah.
And maybe that's like my like call to action after this episode. Buy some strawberry shortcake popsicles.
Ooh, you gave yourself a hard one, didn't you? I promise you, everyone who's listening today, I will get that strawberry shortcake bar.
Because I'm telling you, it's so good. Like little crispy things on the outside.
Meanwhile, everyone else do community service. Duke not, okay?
Exactly. I'm a Duke not on the treadmill after I have that popsicle. Oh my gosh. But yeah, the beach was definitely like my thing. Not that, I mean, I don't even, maybe I blocked out like my childhood and what we would do, because yeah, I was definitely very sheltered as a child. But over the years, like definitely going to the beach, which I definitely don't do enough of, but it's like my happy place. Like literally, like even if it's like just to sit there and listen to the sound of the waves and to smell the like the sea breeze and all of that, like that's my favorite thing. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've mentioned before about that big tub that my mom got for some laundromat that would be put out in the yard. But that's just like always one of my favorite memories. Oh, boomerang. Mm. Love that. I used to have this red boomerang, and it was like really awesome, and like to go out into the woods and whip it around and have it come back somehow. That Ooh. Was pretty magical. All in all, we were like outdoors a lot, because my dad is really... or like used to be at least an outdoorsy person. So we'd go on hikes and to the beach. And a lot of times just playing with my siblings. When we got to a certain age, we were able to be left alone in the house.
Wow. That was me at like age 21.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're more like around 12. Or actually even, well, this is when we were living in Germany. So it was even younger, because my sister's... A year and a half, say, older than me. And then my brother is about a year and a half younger than me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my parents have to go to work, and there's three of us there. But there used to be like this really awesome abandoned apartment building at the top. And I don't know why this door wasn't locked, because it really was like a safety hazard. But, you know, for kids, like that kind of discovery and hanging out and sifting through all this. I mean, I know it's not driftwood, but driftwood is the first thing that came to mind. But it's like, yeah, just like this wood and broken glass and all these things, these dangerous things that children shouldn't get caught up in.
Cut yourself.
But it's so different. I don't know. Times are so different now, because I couldn't imagine like ever just like leaving my child at like 5, 6 years old and being like, okay, you're with your siblings, take care of each other. I mean, we did have a dog. I do want to, you know, give my parents props. We had a Rottweiler and he was trained to kill. So we were safe inside that house alone. I really always loved the beach and also the sprinklers. Went to a lot of sprinklers by the Christian Science Memorial.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Places like that. And I would, oh, my goodness, getting a bathing suit every year.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they're just such, like, for kids, just, like, you know, that bright neon orange and... You know, always so many colors, and that was just, it was so much fun picking out a bathing suit. My sister would always get the bikini. She always had a nicer body, and I always had my little pudge stomach, which I've redeveloped again.
Oh, whatever. Go away. Body positivity. Let's go back a couple episodes.
No, I mean, I mean, just because you note something that's true,
I know.
It doesn't mean you're not being positive. I mean, that's how it is. But yeah, I would always remember just like looking at her in her bikini and being like, ah. And then like all these guys would always hit on her, and I've always been into like a lot of bright colors, so I'd always have on like the babiest looking stuff anyway. So it's probably safe that people were staying away.
That's so funny.
But yeah, that's nice, and I feel like we had a lot of family road trips, but. I can't really say that was a summer thing, but when you think of summer, yeah, there's always definitely. Like summer road trips to wherever.
Yeah, like for us, it was like going to New York, and I don't know what beach we would go to, and why would we be swimming in any kind of beach that touches like Long Island that's not like, you know, the Hamptons? I don't know, but apparently people do go swimming, and I did, and I have all my limbs and none extra. But yeah, like I had, you know, would visit family that lived in Queens, and... we'd go to the beach, and like my dad and uncle, like they'd go fishing or something, and like my dad, like this man,
that's so cool. I always admire people who like fish in rivers. Oh, I don't know why I think it's so cool.
Yeah, like they
just
would,
gonna
like,
set up here in this public park.
Exactly. And then we would eat that stuff, and again, I'm still alive. I don't know what levels of mercury live in my system, but yes.
Well, I always see people going to the beach and digging up crabs.
Oh, yeah, crabs.
Just,
yeah,
but, like, it's, like, Revere Beach or, like, you know, things like, yeah. I just think about, like, 10 years ago, and I was like, that water was really dirty. I'm not sure if I've gotten over that yet, but, yeah, I think it's cool when you're just kind of like, I'm not going to spend $15 on this soft shell crab. I'm going to dig it up from the beach where I go.
Yep.
Where it's 20 minutes away from my house.
Just bring a cooler, bring some ice, and
throw them in.
There you go. And then when you get home, make a nice, you know,
boiling pot
with the coconut milk. That's what Honduran, it's really good. It's good stuff. Not going to lie. So those are some fun memories that I have. Yeah, the seafood dishes. You cannot get away from the seafood dishes.
Never as fresh any other time. Yep. Summer's the freshest.
All of that is in season. Like, yeah, throw coconut oil in anything. Fried fish. My family, they were very much into, like, fish and chips. Like, that was, like, the dish. Which, like, we're not British,
but, like, all homemade. Like, fish and chips?
Actually, no, more often than not, like, we'd go out for that kind of stuff, or, like, we'd order in.
Yeah.
But like for some reason it was like one of my dad's like favorite go-to dishes.
My dad's the same way. He like,
oh really?
He loves like fried haddock. Like,
oh yeah.
He's a big seafood person.
Interesting.
He should be a lot healthier because like he loves fish, loves salad, loves like different types of fruits. But if you leave him to his own devices, he'll do Chinese takeout and McDonald's.
Oh no, that's awful.
He was so much healthier when my parents were together. Sorry, Dad. Stay safe.
I know.
You put sandwiches here. That reminds me of like bringing sandwiches because my mom, she would not be spending money.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like ice cream trucks are more rare, but they're also like way cheaper, I think, than they are now.
But they probably are. Yeah.
Yeah. But my mom, she would always like try to pack anywhere we went. There was like lunch, snacks upon snacks, juice upon juice. Because she's like, I'm not spending money. It's expensive. And I'm like, wow, mom, we must have been broke because to get anything, you think like.
But it makes sense.
Like in the 90s and stuff, like how much like. I mean, think about getting a sandwich now. A sandwich is like $10.
Oh, yeah.
Back then, sandwiches were probably like around $5. I bet you could find like some sort of sandwich for like $2.50.
But like, think about it. Even today, though, like for the cost of that one gourmet sandwich, you could get the whole loaf of bread, a jar of peanut butter, a jar of jelly for under $10, you know?
But my thing is now, like, what kind of quality bread? Because I know for good.
Oh, wow. You don't do that Wonder Bread? You don't do that nice white process?
I have lived on the line of poverty long enough. I want my artisan bread.
You don't want that Wick bread?
No, I'm not ashamed. I've done that too. I want my artisan bread at this point in my life.
You want that ciabatta. You want those French rolls baked today.
I actually have some bread. You should really have a slice of it. Oh, and we got the Justin's. Have you ever seen like the pack of like almond butter and peanut butter? It's usually white.
No,
And they have cashew butter, but now they do the jars.
You got me at ciabatta.
You should try some. Yeah, it's so good. Well, yeah, so
I will clean out the ciabatta before I leave today. That is Iggy's. The goal.
I really like Iggy's too.
Interesting.
Anyway,
I have done that before, and I'm not a mom. Not yet, anyway. Yeah. I have totally done that. I have definitely packed, like, a cooler with water bottles galore and, the little peanut butter and jellies, like, in little sandwich bags, like, the actual proper little, like, fold-over sandwich bags and, you know, some juice pouches and whatnot. I've done that.
Yeah. I like doing that because that's what really... Like, I don't know, it just kind of triggers something for me, like being a kid and being home. And my mom, she'd always make her famous sandwich, which was peanut butter with shredded carrots, honey, and raisins.
Ooh.
Like, all mixed. Oh, you have to try
it.
It's delicious. Like, forget about peanut butter and jelly. Like, this is the sandwich.
That's crazy.
It's super delicious.
Ooh, gourmet.
Yeah, I feel like I don't have enough of those trips. I know that we talked about reviving ankles everyone should
ankle
have ankles
bracelets, please yes. keep them.
Ankle bracelets, but yeah, that's another thing about summer. I always remember anklets. I had this really cute dolphin one, and
so while we're on this positive note, we do have to nominate someone for least worst.
You said while we're on a positive note, let's talk about the negative.
Let's bring it down a notch.
Okay, who is it?
So, yeah, again, well, it's hard to not point out the existing administration, but over the course of the past year, there definitely have been a number of different legislative measures that have been either passed or circled around in Congress, some of which want to actually cut funding for. Or altogether, let's just sell it off. Let's just privatize this or, all right, well, it's no longer, being publicly funded and now it's going to be up for grabs.
Just means it's probably going to be drilled into or it's going to be some cheesy resort. It's always the same old, like, ugly shit. Like, why can't you just leave something beautiful there?
No.
For people to enjoy.
Well, so it's all in the name of like, we got to cut out this $1 trillion debt or whatever. But so like...
From what? From the stupid wars that you're getting us into?
Exactly. Yeah, which is going to only plummet us more into debt.
We
so.
Need a woman to run this country.
Michelle Obama, 2020. Like,
more badly than ever because it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, actually, it needs to be another person of color, but like from the Caribbean... Like, let me tell you, if they put, like, some, like, spendthrift, like, I hate to put it this way, but if they put, like, a Haitian person there, let me tell you that that debt is going to go away, all right? Mm. They will find a way. No, they will definitely find a way. We're not going to have heat in this country. We're not going to have AC in this country.
Haiti is an island, to be fair, so I'm not sure if that would work. And I'm also not sure how their government is faring, so we probably want to pick a strong government first out of POC and then, women.
Someone with that experience, though, like, I'm telling you, like, they hustle. Like, they will find ways to turn, like, a dollar into, like, $100. Like, they're just really, not to stereotype or anything, but... Many of the Haitians I know, I think that they just work really hard and find ways
to make a dollar stretch. But would you say Hondurans don't work as hard?
Hondurans.
whatever. I know Puerto Ricans, hardworking, no, paved the way for the East Coast.
Down. Hands down, Puerto Ricans got it. Hondurans.
We're like what Mexicans are to like the Midwest and like South area.
Many Hondurans. I'm not going to say most. Many Hondurans are hardworking. I'm an example of one of them. But like, I think there's a stereotype amongst Hondurans that that they're conformista. Like they just kind of, you know, if they have something and they're doing okay, comfortable. Like they don't need to go and climb that corporate ladder and do all this craziness. Like they're just kind of like, if I'm good, I'm good. So that's why I don't know that I would nominate Honduran for president.
Girl, bye.
I'm just messing around. Because there are definitely some like legit hardworking Hondurans. And you know, we see, well, the only, like, really maybe one of the most public-facing examples is America Ferrera. Like, the girl's a producer, she's an actor, she's an activist. And
wait, who is this?
America Ferrera.
Oh, she's Honduran, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I like her.
Yeah?
I'm watching Ugly Betty.
There you go.
right now.
Yeah.
The old season, so much fun.
Yeah. So she's one of the hardworking ones. And I'm another, and then after that, it gets kind of shady. I'm just kidding. Oh, but you got a woke person. You got a woke person.
Oh, a woke person. Yeah, like on a woke person. Positive note.
A true positive note.
A woke person who works. I nominated American journalist Julia Ioffe. So she was basically just called out Trump's and his administration, his plan. They have a plan right now in place to curb legal immigration, and they're. So they're saying that they're trying to come up with a formula that's going to provide, in quotes, the right kind of demographic engineering. So they don't want anybody who are kind of like low wage workers. So think about people who like pick your vegetables or, you know, anything that's kind of, I guess, like administrative or lower jobs. Like they want to like hire engineers and doctors. And those are the people that they're going to let into the country as immigrants. Yeah. Well, mind you that Melania came in on like an H-1B visa, I believe it was for modeling, and she doesn't have a college degree to this day. So how can you be so restrictive to, you know, immigrants and people who are trying to make a better life for themselves, and then your own wife is just, she doesn't even have a college degree. So I can't stand people like that.
No.
So anyways, she came here when she was 7 years old. She's an immigrant from Russia. And she's like, this is another thing, just to make what she says carry more weight. So this, the reforming immigration, they're aiming to reduce the number of low-skilled immigrants who are allotted green cards by 50% and replace that with a current employment-based system with a merit-based system grading. So I guess it looks at things like, okay, what's your education level? Do you know the English language?
Yeah.
How many high-paying job offers do you have? What's your age? Mm-hmm. So they're going to like just basically weed people out based on these different areas. Whatever. I mean, I don't know where they're getting these things from. Like, as if somebody that is older or younger, like how do you gauge whether they have more or less to contribute? The English language ability is ridiculous to me.
Because there's so many low-paying jobs that, let's be real, like, no one in this country or who was born here, I don't care what your level of poverty or need is, there are still things that people here are not going to do. No one is going to go out into, like, these farms and go and harvest crops and risk their lives doing that. No one is going, even, like, you know, yeah, domestic services or even like potentially like restaurant jobs. Like there's so many different things that people are not going to do and that these immigrants, like they'll do anything. They'll do anything.
Well, I mean, that's not good. Of course. I believe, you know, protecting immigrants who come here and that they should be able to have a living wage and kind of move up in like salary. Not a lot of them, or not, I'm not saying like a lot of them, but like some immigrants who come here, especially for domestic workers, they're slaves inside these houses it's just, it's really awful. So Iofi, she came to the United States from Russia in 1990. She was 7 years old. She didn't speak any English. Neither did her parents. And she her tweet went viral when she kind of blasted back at Trump. And she's like, I didn't speak English when I immigrated to the United States. Now I get paid to write in it. So, wow. I mean, that's another thing, too. It's, you know, parents may come here and they might not speak English, but that doesn't mean that somebody can't learn to speak English. And you certainly have a better chance of learning to speak a language when, you know, you're like in the culture itself. It's not like, you know, learning Spanish, say for me, but I'm in English speaking environment. Even if you speak Russian or whatever language, if you're in America, the chances are you'll probably learn how to speak English. And if you're older and sometimes things like that, they just don't click with people. It's still about your children too, and offering them that opportunity. So she was just she just kind of called him out on that and said that him and his policies are immoral and cruel. So I was like, good for you.
Yeah.
Using that journalist degree and as an immigrant to support others, because unlike Melania, she kind of forgets that, hey, like, I'm an immigrant without a college degree. I don't have a job. I'm not contributing, you know, to the growth of America in any sort of way.
No, if anything, like, I'm supporting her lavish lifestyle and her plastic surgery or whatever she does to herself.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. Sorry. That just kind of triggered that. Didn't the president, the Trump, whatever, he announced that he was taking a 17-day working vacation.
Are you for real?
Yes.
What?
Like, how do you do that? I'm just going to take a working vacation. I was like,
there's no such thing. You're either on vacation
at one of
his
resorts. And I was okay, whatever.
Whatever.
Anyway.
Doesn't he do that every weekend when he goes golfing?
He legit takes so many vacations. When he was calling out, I remember, former President Obama. Yeah. Saying, like, oh, he's always on vacation. Well, he wasn't, like, he's allowed to vacation, and he wasn't on vacation when it counted.
And also, yeah, definitely, like, I think within the first month of his administration, like, Trump had already taken more golf days than Obama in, like, in a year or something.
Oh, yeah, we had tweeted about that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh. Back to that was supposed to be the happy thing. So thank you, Julia Iofi, you're woke. So our call to action is...
We're going to relive a summer moment. Muy picante, muy caliente. Actually, I found love in the muy summertime. Pasión.
Well, sorry, mucho pasión.
Oh, my gosh. Ay, ay, ay.
Escandaloso.
I met my husband. Actually, no, I lied. We met in the spring, but, like, we started dating or made it official in the summertime. So that's another fun memory that I have. So yeah, summer's just a good time. Like, well, summer in New England, I should say, because some of y'all around the country have it summer all year round, in which case, like, irrelevant. But yeah, when there's nice weather and nice heat and whatnot, you're looking good, your skin is glowing. Yeah,
I'm having hard skin times over here. So.
Oh my gosh,
I'm hoping the Bahamas will fix that.
Yeah,
but actually, that does bring a good point. Like, because today when I was telling you that I was just lounging, I remember when me and my husband started dating. Like, that was a big thing. Like, you know, you go out, you have all that energy. I could have stayed out forever. Now I'm just like, but yeah, we did, like, sleep in late a lot, and it felt like really good just to spend like half of the day lounging and not having a really packed schedule with tons of responsibilities. So that's something that I like. And even if, like, we're not outside, but, like, the window's open and the sunlight is pouring in, it's a really good feeling.
It is a good feeling. What are we going to revive this week?
We are going to revive community pools. I was thinking about this. It's, like, I think that they're a great benefit to the community. Like, you don't have to drive all the way to the beach. Sometimes the beaches, they aren't even that nice. Like, they'll have dirty diapers on the beach, and I don't know. I just always see something, like, really gross when I go to the beach, and it's just not
or
as
like
kept
there's
up.
Like, the rocks and the seaweed,
the
if it gets
yeah, depending on the beach itself.
Or these New England beaches are always freezing.
Yeah, that's the water's true, too. Freezing. The water's going to be cold, or it's, like, overcrowded.
Yeah.
So, that brings us to the end of our episode. So I hope that everybody gets to go out and enjoy this gorgeous weather, because summer is legit going to be done in like 10 days.
No, I don't like it. You get to go experience it the summer in the Bahamas. I get to go experience it in the suburbs of Massachusetts. No, definitely go and, you know, if you have kids, go and take them out, you know, give them some fresh air, like go spend some quality time, make those sandwiches. And now you just heard the recipe with it. You got to put some carrots in that sucker and some peanut butter, some raisins.
And honey.
And honey.
And honey, yeah. It's amazing. It will honestly change your life. And if you don't have kids, then enjoy not having kids in the quiet.
Oh my gosh.
And the ability to get up and go and not have to change diapers or chase after them. Because sometimes it's hot and you just want to nap near the water. And they're like, Mommy, come up play with me. Come play. And you're like, oh my gosh. Can I get a day for me? Everybody always wants something out of me. Anyway, we'll see you guys next week.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.